For this day is a new day. A new day in the realm of the Spirit that shall come to pass at last. For it's been prophesied and even declared by the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament prophets, and prophets of the modern day, that this outpouring would take place someday. This outpouring is now upon you. It is in the realm of the Spirit. In fact, I can see it right upon the earth right now, and I can just see it covering the whole earth. The glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. And when I say fill the earth, that means it will fill you. And then you'll become more conscious of heavenly things, not earthly things. And there will be those that are even here tonight that will be caught up in the Spirit. Some for a day or two, some for a week, and some for several weeks. But it'll be a spiritual move that I will make, because it must take place. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit that I'm moving in this hour. So as you press into me and seek my face, I will baptize you afresh with the Holy Ghost. And a special anointing will come upon you. And you won't just walk, but you'll run this race. It's now time to run. The time has begun. So look not in the past and say, when will it be? When will it be? Because right now it's suddenly coming upon thee. And the Spirit of the living God shall move in your life, in your families, in your churches, throughout the nations of the earth. And there has been, in the realm of the Spirit, demonic activity that's been trying to hold us back. But as you know, in this year, in this nation, there was a breakthrough. The darkness that covered this nation, that brought people into debilitating mental states to think and believe things that were absolutely untrue. That was the devil, you know, that was causing them to do that. But that darkness is broken already. And you're coming into a brand new day. So take advantage of it, and you'll move forward in a brand new way. Seek my face. Take your place. Take time daily to read, meditate, and study upon my word. And when I said read and study, many are lacking in this area, this one area that would bring great spiritual benefits. Take time to meditate upon my word. Not just run through the Bible and read it like a book, but just meditate upon scriptures that you need to get solidified and established in your life. Even as I told Joshua to do so in Joshua chapter 1, that he would make his way prosperous as he done that. So that has been lacking in your life, make a turn now and take time to meditate. Think about it deeply. Mutter it aloud to yourself until it becomes real to you. And when you do, you'll see it will come to pass. The scriptures will come to pass for you. So it's not time to be sad. It's time to be glad, because the Lord has brought you out. And of that fact, there is no doubt. Lord, we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, there is no doubt that you've brought us out, that we're turned around, and that we're going forward by the Spirit and the anointing of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and I take authority over that foul spirit right there in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you, that foul oppressing spirit, and I command you to stop your maneuvers right now in Jesus' name. And I command you to go. Take your hands off that. Loose it. And Father, I ask that you send the angels to assist in this particular situation. And I thank you, Lord, that it's done, that it's taken place. Lord, we've declared it even as you said. We've spoken it as you have said. And we know that it's already done in the realm of the Spirit, and it's coming to pass in this physical material world. And so, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your holy written word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we thank you as we reverently and humbly approach your word that we're going to walk into new ways because we're in new days. And you're going to help us through the anointing of God. And we're going to be released to run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we approach your word reverently and humbly tonight, we thank you for revelation of your word, illustration of your word, and impartations of the Spirit of the living God that enable us to walk out what we have heard. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God is with us. We're in a new day, new time. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God we're in a new day, new time. Yes. Take time, the Spirit of God said there. It applies to me as it does to everybody else. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. In fact, it's become a lost art in the body of Christ. And as I was in the Spirit there, the Lord told me to turn to Mark chapter 11. That was not my intention, but we're following Him. Isn't that right? I have been honored to be here with you and your pastors and the other wonderful ministers. And I've been knowing Pastor Edwin. He's been getting me in trouble for so many years. You'd have to hear some of the stories. I have survived them all. I'm still standing. That we appreciate his ministry and thank God for his ability to share the wisdom he had. Pastor Angela, the things that they know that would help us. And I do apply those truths to my life. Yes, but I decided to, he's talking about going on vacation and all that. And I said, I want to go on vacation when I get ready. I'm one of them rebellious ones. You need to listen to this morning services. Yes. That you need to go online. Yes. And listen to the morning services. Because you, by the time you get through, you'll be under the chair or under the couch or under the bed. But it's good balanced stuff. It'll help you. He's talking about the local church, and thank God for that. He's gifted in that area. Mark chapter 11. It's Matthew. Is it Matthew, then Mark? Is it Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Okay, I still remember. So what you going to say? We're going to figure it out here in a minute. Mark chapter 11. Verse number 12 says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bandus de Bibiki, Doria Kahaso, Maminduria Kahaso, Mamingi, Ekatalakuva Sakepe, Yema, Otoria, Abusta, Bamakuta, Akite, Lekanto, Wabaka. Pay attention to the scriptures. Not only pay attention to them, not only know them, not only meditate on them, practice them. And they shall come to pass in your life, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. They will. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, which literally means have the faith of God. That don't mean you are God, but act like God would act. And that was in verse 12. Let's go there. It says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. His disciples heard it. So he spoke to this fig tree. Oh, by the way, Brother Bill, I've been picking up your symptoms. And I do that sometimes. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, and that could be a good thing. But he said here, he seen the fig tree, if he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came, but he found nothing but leaves. Now, the question would be asked, why did he come to find figs on a tree if he knew that there was not going to be any figs on that tree? Well, I think the way it was, the way I understand it, and of course I'm not an expert in this field, but the way I understand it was, if the leaves were on the tree at this particular time of the year, usually they had figs on them. And that's why he was coming. Because why would he be coming to find a fig on a tree? If you know, he would have known. I mean, he did go to Jerusalem high, but he had good sense. You know what I mean? He wouldn't be go looking for figs on a tree if he didn't think they might be something on there. And I read about this a little bit, and it said that this time of the year in that particular area, if the leaves are on the trees, usually they had figs on them. But in this case, you know, it didn't. So he got concerned because he didn't get no groceries, and he was hungry. You know what I mean? And he spoke to the fig tree. He said in verse 14, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter for how long? From now on. In other words, that's the end of this tree, right? He spoke to the tree. The Spirit of God said to me a while ago, one of the greatest truths that we're kind of letting slip in our circles is the confession of the Word of God. We're letting it slip, and we need to be reminded of this. See, if you don't have faith, Brother Hagin used to call it, you can school yourself into faith, which means you can talk yourself into faith. If you don't believe something, you can keep talking it long enough until you do register on your spirit and you do believe it, because you can have what you say. So it goes on down. We'll skip on down to verse 22. And I read this prematurely, but verse 22 is, and Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God or have the faith of God. In other words, act like God would act. What did he do? Well, he spoke the world into existence. Everything on this planet was created with words. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you read, it just underlined in there in Genesis chapter 1, two words, God said. And this is in the King James 1611 edition. I know there's a lot of Bibles that the devil wrote, you know, I'm joking. I think Pastor Tim thinks he wrote, one or two. But anyway, the King James, it says that, you know, God said, those two words, God said. And just everything that was created in this earth. In fact, turn over there. Because you might not do it if I don't take you over there. Genesis chapter 1. Because I'm speaking on, we got it figured out now. Takes me a minute. You know, a lot of times I speak by sudden inspiration in the moment, because I say, Lord, why do you get me in this mess? But I'm going to speak on, you can have what you say. Yeah. Whether you believe it or not, you're going to have what you say. Right. You're going to have what you say. And it's becoming, we're losing this in the body of Christ. So we need to pick it up. We need to get back to it. And we need to practice it more. Amen. But it says here, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void. Now, I got in the Sanhedrin Council, and that's tohu vabohu or something. I don't know what it is. And we're still wrestling over this and the pre-Adamic race. But it's somehow, it's hard for me to believe that God messed up more than once, you know? Of course, I'm joking. I don't know. So anyway, that tohu vabohu, you ever heard those words? You know, but I don't know what they mean, but I got all the scholars here. They know all this stuff. And he says, what they say, the earth became without form and void, but he created it right. I don't know how they get that, but they got it. So out of one scripture, just two little words there in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I know we're going to Ezekiel, we're going over here, we're going over there, because we're going to prove that theory. Dinosaur, where is he at? He's out there in the parking lot. My God, that's where he's at. Of course, Brother Hagin believed that way. He leaned that way, you know, so I'm not knocking him. He's my spiritual father in the faith. And it says here, and the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Notice here, what did it say? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the Spirit of God was there, but it wasn't doing anything. But it was there. And it's the same way in our life. The Spirit of God is always present everywhere. That's what Jesus told Brother Hagin one time. His power was. But nothing happened until words were spoken, right? So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. When was the beginning? You'll have to wrestle with the Sanhedrin here to know. I may have to get me some help. I'm telling you. Brother Anderson, I may need some help. I don't know. But it says here, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, but it wasn't doing anything. There was nothing being created or anything like that. But then in verse 3, it said, God said what? Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. But nothing happened until God spoke. Nothing happened until God spoke. Verse 6, it says, and God what? Said. And then in verse 9, it says, and God what? Said. Verse 11, it says, and God said. Isn't that right? In verse 14, it says what? And God said. In verse 20, it says, and God said. Do you see that? In verse 24, and God said. In verse 26, and God said. You know, even in the creation of man, God said it before he did it. So you see that. But the Spirit of God was there, but it didn't do anything until somebody spoke. And that's the way it is with us. Until we speak it, it's not going to come to pass. So turn back to Mark 11, 23. Said, what does it mean to have faith in God or have the faith of God? Have the faith of God is to act like God acted. And what did he do? He spoke. That's what he did. Verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, could be test, trial, circumstance, situation, whatever it be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He said, for verily I say unto you, verse 23, that whosoever shall say. Now, the word say means this. The word say means speak words from your mouth. It doesn't mean to think about it. It doesn't mean to meditate on it, even though those truths are real and we need to do that. But nothing happens until you speak. And that's what he's showing us here. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But what if you don't say it? What if you don't say it? What if you don't say it? You know, there's a lot of people that's been hoping and dreaming for things to come to pass, but you got to start saying it. 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 I said, you got to start saying it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Jesus pointed out to Brother Hagin one time. He said, if you'll notice in this scripture, three times it says the word say or saith. And one time it says believe. He says, not that my people are missing in the believing area. He said, they're missing it in the area of speaking or saying or confessing what they want to see. He said, that's why you got to do three times as much preaching on the saying part of Mark 11, 23, as you do the believing part. And Jesus taught him that. Y'all remember that? You remember that? And so you can have what you say. How powerful are your words? Well, I can tell you this. Your words And I've had experience after experience after experience. Can I tell you about cursing a tree? Are you ready for this? Yes, are you sure? Yes. We put in a landing strip down in Georgia, a 3,000-foot strip. I had a Piper Aztec, Brother Randy, back then. He would know what that was. And it was noted for getting out of short fields with heavy loads. It was almost one-ton aircraft. I mean, it would haul the weight. And I put in a landing strip. I actually had a guy, my mama's neighbor, and he had brought in, we took dozers and all that kind of stuff and took these earth-moving pans, earth movers, and moved dirt. And in fact, the old man that done it, where he would sight it in and shoot the grade, he'd drive a stob down here at the one end of the runway and drive another stob at the other end of the runway, and he'd squat down and look. I'd squat down with him. I said, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking at the lay of the land and see where it goes between these two sticks." I said, "Don't you have to have one of them things that looks like a rifle scope, you know, to do that, a transom, you know?" "Ah, we don't need them. We put in roads and everything, doing this same thing." I said, "Well, go for it then. Let's go." So anyway, he put me in this strip and planted grass on it. He got it good. He crowned it right. You know, it's a grass strip. But the Aztec would handle that, you know. It was crowned. You got to get the water to run off of it. And we planted grass on it. And I remember the first day that I was going to land there, I had two guys that was working with me then. And I told them, "Today is the big day." I said, "We're going to come in here." And I had to land over a dirt road. Now, where I mean, I'd hit the top of the cars. I had to get so low because I had to put her down, you know. It's not just landing, but it's stopping after you land, you know. You got to get that thing to stop, you know. And of course, I'm coming in with full flaps and all that stuff. I mean, slow as I can go, you know, but I got my gear down, everything. And you'll put it down right on the end, you know. And of course, I'm pulling back on the throttles, holding up on the nose and trying to bleed off airspeed that way too, you know, as I'm going down through there. But I remember I had them out there on the road, the guys that worked for me on one side of the road and the other side of the road. I said, "If any cars come, you stop them." I said, "Once I commit to this approach," I said, "I don't want to get down in these trees," because I had trees on both sides and the other end too. "I don't want to get down these trees and something go wrong and I can't get out of them, because things might get ugly, you know." So anyway, as I was out there, I was on an approach from the south. In other words, I was headed south, flying north, because the wind was favoring that way. You always land or take off into the wind. And so as I was going down through there, I could see there was a giant Georgia pine that somehow we had overlooked. And it was big. I mean, three men couldn't reach around it. And it had a limb that kind of hung out over the runway, but you didn't notice it because it was so tall. But when you use an airplane and you're flying in there, you noticed it a lot, you know? And you thought, "Well, not only have I got to get down here, I got to get under that limb down there. And I don't want to catch the tail, because if you do, you know, things get bad then too." So I landed it. And then, of course, I turned right around and took right back off. And of course, they wondered what I was doing. I wanted to make sure I could do it more than once. And I went out and came back in. I've landed on dirt roads. I landed in Belize, Central America, running the chickens and goats out of the way. You know what I mean? With this same Aztec, that thing would do it, you know. But it was helping Pastor Happy Caldwell in a Bible school down there, helping him refurbish one of them, and I was sharing in the Bible school. But I landed it finally and stopped, and I taxied over and shut it down. And they said, "Why in the world are you flying around here like this?" I said, "I want to make sure to do it again. Just because you do it one time, we want to do it again, you know?" And they said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, you see that tree up there?" They said, "Yeah." "See that limb hanging over?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, the reason they didn't touch it, because they couldn't get to it. And it was way over a gully there. And they was concerned, because they didn't realize it till after they had put the runway in. And if they try to cut that tree or get it down, because you couldn't get to it with equipment. I mean, it's surrounded by gullies. You probably could have dug it out eventually, but it would have been a lot of money. And they said they was going to try to take it down, but they was concerned that it would fall on the runway. And then that would mess up the whole thing. You have to start and, you know, rework the dirt. So after they left, I got this bright idea. You know what I mean? And I was in that, I think it was a GMC diesel, but that was the worst truck that they had ever made in their life. They had taken a gasoline engine and converted it over to diesel, and that thing was a piece of junk. In fact, It had so many problems with the fuel system and things that would go wrong with it that the government made them increase the warranty on that thing for almost 18 years. Because it was a design flaw that the factory did. Of course, I'm trying to get rid of it, you know. And I did. I blessed somebody else with it. I believe in blessing people, you know. Anyway, I got in that old white truck. And I backed off down through there. I looked at that limb over there. And I looked at that pine tree down through there. And I just said out loud to myself, I said, self, I said, the scripture says here you can have what you say. Yes. Jesus cursed the fig tree. I said, I know this is a lot. It was a gigantic tree. I said, I know that he didn't curse a pine tree, but he said it would work on anything. So I'm going to say something to you right now. I said, I curse you, tree, and I command you to die, and you're not going to fall on my runway. I said, Brother Randy, did you feel a little silly? No, I felt a lot silly. Here I am talking to trees. A lot silly. And so I went on. There wasn't nothing else to do, you know. And I'd come back when I was in town. I'd ride in. I'd come in from the, I'd be coming out of the west. And when I'd run out, come out on the runway, then I would turn south and I could see the tree down there. And I'd look. And it's still standing there. It looked like it growed taller, you know. Yeah. And I would say again, this is what I would say to it. I'd say, pine tree, you've already been cursed and you're dead and you're going to die. And you're not going to fall on my runway. And then I'd go on about my business. And I'd done this. Sometimes I would do it, you know, 6 or 8 times a week. Said, was it working? Well, for a long time, it seemed like it wasn't. And so about 1.5 years later, I came in from the west, as I normally would, from the paved highway. We had to come in on some little dirt roads we'd made with a John Deere 650 Dozier. And we came in there, and I turned on the south on the runway and looked at that tree, and guess what I saw? The top of it had turned brown. Now, pine trees are evergreen, so they're green all the time. If they're alive, they're green down our way. Ain't that right? They're evergreen trees. So I said, I told you. Oh, you talking about talking. I talk and I talk. I mean, I started bragging about how big God was. My God, I told you. So the next thing, I came in there about 1 or 2 later, and I was watching it. That limb that was hanging out over the runway broke off, and the wind blew it away from the runway, and it was gigantic. But I still wasn't satisfied because I wanted to come down because it was so tall. If it fell over there, and of course, you could tell it was dying from the top down. And I kept cursing and said, you're going to fall in Jesus' name. I mean, I already said it in faith. It's already done. And in fact, my son Randall was with me down there about 2006. And he remembered me telling that story, you know. And he said, Daddy, is that tree that you was talking about? I said, that's it. He said, let me out. So he got out and got his camera. You want to take pictures of this thing, you know? So we got pictures of this pine tree. But I killed a pine tree with my tongue. I'm telling you, you don't need a gardener. Hire me. My God, I killed a pine tree with my tongue. Now, I know what you're asking and what you're thinking. You know, I know how we do it. Say, Brother Randy, Jesus cursed the fig tree and it died right away. How come it took you 1.5 years plus in order for the tree to die? This is my answer. I am not Jesus. If I'd have been Jesus, when I spoke the first time, it would have been over. But let me tell you this. There's many trees that's growing in people's lives right now. And the reason they're growing is because they're not talking to them. Because you think that you are being ineffective by just saying words. You're wanting somebody to grab you and anoint you with oil and pray over you. And I think Pastor Tim, I think some people don't need praying for, they need kicked in the rear end. My God, I'm just telling you the truth. He's been trying to culture me ever since he met me. He's trying to get me cultured, you know. Some people need a swift kick, because sometimes, you know, I see it over and over where the body of Christ is trying to get somebody else to do something for them that they can do their self. And that's a lot of times what don't work. I mean, there are some times that you got to have help, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But the reason you got trees growing and things taking place that you don't want to see happen in your life is because you don't talk to the circumstance. You don't talk to the thing and start saying what you want to see. Because if you'll do that, I'll guarantee you, if you'll say, excuse me, what you want to see, if you'll say it, it shall come to pass. So let me tell you this wild story. I'm going to tell you how I broke down the prison gates with my tongue. I broke down the prison gates. Now I hopped over the fence, you know, three times. And they don't like it, Dr. Michael. They for some reason, they get all upset, brother. You know, they get upset about that. But I leaped tall buildings with single bounds, outrunning speeding bullets. I don't think I ever stopped a locomotive with one hand. You go on our website and see this. I think it was CBN or something. They actually done a video movie of my life story. Yeah. And it's been seen all over, you know, but I think parts of it are on our website because they allowed us to retain certain rights about it. But they got actors playing what it is. You can see me jumping out of windows, jails and all kinds of stuff, outrunning bloodhounds. All kinds of stuff, and police chasing me through the woods. And I made it. I said, Brother Randy, how did you survive all that? It must have been the grace and mercy of God. And that's all it was. But I was in prison, you know, and I had gotten born again on my third escape from prison, driving around down the road in Galveston, Texas, the first week of May of 1982. And I turned myself in, went back to prison, faced a life without the possibility of parole. And through a series of miraculous events, my sentence was changed, but I still had to go back to prison. And I had to go back to prison, and I thought, well, they'll just let me out, you know, after a while, because I'm a good fella now. Of course, they don't believe that. They want to see it on paper. So I'm in prison, and I've been there for quite some time. After I'd become a Christian. In fact, I was a convict preacher. We had a convict church. We had the glory of God moving there. People were getting saved, born again, filled with the Spirit. You can read it in my book. You can get it online at rgm.me. You can get all this stuff and read it. Some of it's instant downloads. So you just hit a button and there it is. But I was in prison, and they was come to interview me for the possible release from prison on parole, which they said I would never get. So I was wondered why they was doing it. So they came out and they interviewed me. Where are you going to go? You know, where are you going to live? Have you got a job? My daddy arranged for this man that he knew that had a construction company to give me a job and all that stuff. And so I told him all that. And he said, we'll let you know, within a week, you know, this is a representative of the state pardon and parole board in the state of Alabama. We'll let you know in a week with a letter, you know, whether we're going to decide to have a hearing for you or not. So about a week later, I got this nice official letter backed up by the governor of the state of Alabama. And it said, Randall A. Greer, 120826. Y'all remember what that number is, don't you? That's my number. They take away your name and give you a number. That was my prison number. I had it for a long time, so that's why I know it by heart. And it said, Randall A. Greer, 120826, said, we have considered you for release on parole, and we have determined that you will be released on parole in the month of none. And then down at the letter as it went, it named about eight reasons why, you know, escaping here, escaping that, failure to respond to rehabilitation, outrun speeding bullets, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then at the bottom, it said, furthermore, you'll be reconsidered in the future for release on parole in the month of none. What I did is I immediately took that letter that I got from the prison post office. There they have a little post office where they give out mail. And so I went and got the letter and I read it. Of course, you could imagine how discouraged I was, because I was very discouraged. And I went out of the prison yard and I started showing the letter to the Lord like he needed to read it. Because, you know, I was serving God then. I mean, with all my heart, I was seeing into the future. God's gifts and operations were in my life. It was just, and I'm not saying that from a bragging perspective, I was walking with God. Just because you're walking with God don't mean things are going to happen for you unless you believe for them. I was serving God faithfully every day. I was fasting and praying. Sometimes I'd fast 2 weeks at a time. Sometimes 3 weeks at a time. Sometimes I'd pray as high as 10 hours a day. And I'm not bragging about that. But I was seeking God with all my heart. Didn't say I was perfect, but I was seeking God the best I knew how. So I took the letter out there in the yard and where I had what I call the prayer path, where I could walk around the prison yard, inside the fence, of course, because I was contemplating jumping it again, you know. But they got them people up there in their square boxes. They call gun towers, guard towers. And they somehow get excited when you start jumping the fence, you know. And they'll shoot you, too. I mean, they don't play. But I will tell you this, I was at Holman Prison in max security, and I watched 10 guys walk out of the prison fence. They cut it with wire cutters, and they had a guy dressed like a guard. They stole a uniform, like he was taking a work squad out, and they walked out of that prison by cutting that fence out into the yard. And finally, a guy inside, one of the guards, recognize when the boys out there in the field and realize this guy right here's got life without parole. He shouldn't be no work squad. And he started hollering. And so the guy up in the tower, the gun tower, he started firing and they started running. Well, eventually they did catch them all. But I did watch them walk out of there. You know, it's amazing what convicts can come up with. So when I went out in the yard and showed the Lord that letter, the Lord said to me, he said, I didn't put you in that prison. He said, you put your own self there because you disobeyed me. He said, had you done what I told you to do from the time you was a child, and I can remember back to those times, he said, you'd have never spent all these years behind prison bars. He said, another thing, if you will obey my word, you'll walk out those prison gates. He said, but if you don't, you won't. He didn't automatically come down from heaven, descend from heaven, and appeared to me on the yard. He gave me some instructions about what to do. Even though I was walking with him every day, I wasn't receiving like I should from him because I wasn't doing my part. So I knew, and he showed me, to obey Mark 11:23. You can have what you say. He said, now you got to build your faith in this area. That's what the Lord showed me. He said, get you a piece of paper. He said, and write these scriptures down. I had about 8 to 10 scriptures. They're in the back of my book, Escape from Hell. We listed them because people always would ask me. And it's like I said, it's rgm.me. You can see them there. And he said, read these scriptures out loud to yourself over and over. Why did he want me to do that? Faith comes by hearing. He wanted me to school myself in the faith because I wasn't believing that I was going to get out of there. But I just kept saying it, reading them scriptures. And finally, after about 2 hours of reading those scriptures out loud to myself out there on the prison yard, I kind of memorized them. So I folded them up, put it in my convict shirt pocket. And as I put them in my convict shirt pocket, you know, every now and then I'd think, well, what was that scripture again? I'd had to read a little bit more of it, you know, on the paper and before I, you know, went on. But I got to where I just memorized them. But, you know, there's a difference between being in your memory and in your spirit. I still didn't have them in my spirit. So I just kept on walking. I walked that way and prayed that way for over an hour and a half, I would say. And guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. But I knew the Lord said, do it. So I went back at it again. I started walking again for another hour. Nothing happened. Then it didn't seem like nothing was happening to me. I got me a sip of water out of a water fountain that was close by. And then I started walking again. And then when I was coming around, there was a guard tower right there. Y'all remember where the guard tower was? Wasn't y'all there? The guard tower on the backside of the fence, and he was up there with his guns and everything. And I was coming around the corner right there, and the guard tower's right here. And I somehow got right into there, and I'd been just confessing it over and over. All of a sudden, faith came. I said, faith came. I said, faith came. I mean, it came on me so strong. I said, I don't need no parole board. I'm just going to spread my wings and sing that song. I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'm going to sail over this fence because I felt good. I mean, faith had came. But I seen up there and I seen that guard with that gun, and I thought, he might not know this song. And so it's not good to go that way, because I've been that way 3 times before and got away and stayed away the last time. They didn't catch me. I turned myself in. I was on escape then for almost 1 year. First 2 times I messed up. But anyway, when I was standing there with all this faith inside of me, the Lord said to me, he said, I see that you're in faith. I said, yes, Lord, I'm in faith now. I said, I see it. It's in your word. How did I get there? By confessing that word over and over. Now, it took me approximately 3.5 to 4 hours to get there. But it's worth it. If it takes you 3.5 or 4 hours to get into a place of faith about a particular situation, stay with it. Because it'll work. So I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, claim your release from prison right now. So I did. I bowed up like old Banny Rooster. Y'all know what Banny Roosters are around here? And I started crowing. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that I have my parole in Jesus' name. And my mama had gotten one of these letters too, and she was very distraught, you know, thinking her baby. I know I look pretty big, but I was always mama's baby, you know. She went to heaven a little over a year ago, but I was her favorite son. I always told her that. And I was. I was a heathen of the group. But she put more into me than any other, one of her other children. I mean, spent more money. Mom and dad spent more money on me than anybody other children, trying to get me out of a mess, you know, which I appreciate. And so I spoke and I said, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I have received my parole right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm walking out of this prison in Jesus' name. And then I got full of faith. I looked at the gate I was supposed to walk out. And, when you get to get released, you got to go out this certain gate and go through this administrative area, and they have to sign these documents and stuff like that. So I knew that was the gate I was going to. If I spoke to that gate, hear me, O ye gate. I said, I serve notice on you today. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're going to open, and I'm going to walk out of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me, gate? You hear me, gate? You hear me, gate? And I was full of faith. So I went straight, because I knew my mama was going to parole board the following Tuesday, which this is on a Friday. The following Tuesday, she was going to parole board to try to meet with them to get them to reconsider, and they had granted her a hearing. And so I called Mama on the phone. And I said, Mama, I got my parole. I got my parole. I got my parole, Mama. She said, you hadn't escaped again, have you? Mama didn't have a lot of faith right then. I said, no, Mama, I hadn't escaped. I'm here in prison. I'm in using the prison phone, because I had called her from phones that wasn't in prison when I was supposed to be in prison, you know. She said, what do you mean you got your parole? I said, Mama, the Lord told me what to do. And I said, I believed I've received my parole. And I said, I have it in the name of Jesus. She said, calm down, son. Calm down, son. If it don't happen, you'll think God don't love you. And you may backslide, and I couldn't stand that. She said, honey, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I said, Mama, I hadn't got another basket. This is it. And I said, I got my parole in Jesus' name. And when you go to the parole board next Tuesday, we're going to hear good news. And I said, I don't need to talk to you no more. I love you. But I didn't need more doubt than unbelief, because I was fighting it myself. I said, I'll call you back next Tuesday night to get the good report. She was still protesting as I was hanging up the phone. And so all during the next day, I'm praising God. Sunday, I'm praising God. Monday, I'm praising God. And Tuesday, I'm praising God, thanking God for the good report. I would not let myself think anything different. I would not. Said, did you have thoughts of doubt? Multiple thoughts of doubt. That would come faster than machine gun bullets can shoot. But I just overcame them by constantly staying in the Word, constantly quoting the Word, constantly speaking what the Word says. So it came Tuesday and I signed up to call my mama back on the phone. Can anybody guess who I went in the phone booth as? You've heard of Superman, haven't you? Well, I went in as Faith Man. I mean, I dressed out. I had a big elf on my shirt and my cape was a flying in the wind. My Lord, as soon as the operator put me through and my mama knew it was me, she burst out squalling. She started feeding me kryptonite. That'll date you a little bit, but everybody know what kryptonite is? Huh? Kryptonite. She started feeding me kryptonite. And my faith man, my cape quit flying in the wind. And so she was just distraught, crying. I finally got her controlled. I said, Mama, tell me what they said. They said, from the way things looked and sounded today at the parole board, you will never be released from prison on parole. Said, every time I said one to two things good about you, she said, they said 8 to 10 things bad about you. And she said, the bad thing was everything they said was true. That just hit her in the face. So I'm standing there and I tell you, my cape's not flying anymore. My F's not shining. Faith man F is not shining anymore. But I'm standing there, I didn't come to the end of it. That's as far as I could go. But you know, the Holy Ghost will pick up when you leave off. The Lord said to me in that phone booth, he said, because mama's still talking, I told you don't put all your eggs in one basket and all that stuff. Son, did I tell you to believe that you received your parole? I said, yes, sir. He said, did you believe? I said, yes, sir. Last Friday, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I believed I received it. He said, why are you going to stop now? I said, what do you mean? He said, what the parole board said and what your mama said has nothing to do with the faith in my word. He said, you're believing the wrong thing. So I bowed up again like old Benny Rooster. And I said, Mama, Mama, I got her finally quietened down. Women have a way of, I don't want to get killed. She was just going for it, you know, telling me what she thought. I finally got her calmed down. And I said, Mama, I don't care what things look like or sounded like today at that parole board and what they told you today and what you're telling me. I said, I've got my parole in the name of Jesus. And if I do not, the Bible is a lie. She said, oh my God, that's heresy. That's heresy. You're calling God's word a lie. She's a good Pentecostal lady, you know. That's heresy. I said, no, Mama. I said, let every man be a liar, but let God's word be true. Yes. I said, I'm balanced and stable on the word of God. Amen. So that was in May. And so I went on into June, July, still confessing. Every day I had my parole, still confessing. The latter part of August, y'all remember Captain Felton Crumpton? Y'all remember him? About as tall as Brother Scott, you know, big old towering man. He could just grab a convict, just pick him up, you know, one hand. And Captain Felton Crumpton, I noticed him coming out of the prison administrative area. And he was looking into groups of people because it was out there what they call carefree time. You know, he could do whatever he wanted to on the prison yard. And there was probably 500 or 600 inmates. So he's looking in this group, looking in that group. He's turning people around, you know, and all that stuff. And I wondered, because he looked strange, you know, doing that, because I'd never seen him do that. Then finally, about 20 feet away from me, he's never saw me yet. But all of a sudden, right in my spirit, I knew he was looking for me. I said, Captain Crumpton, are you looking for me? He said, yes. And he come jogging over there, and I went jogging to him. I said,
What is it, sir?
What? He said, you're not going to believe it, son. You're not going to believe it. I said, believe what? He said, you not wouldn't believe it if I told you. I said, sir, what are you talking about? I said, give me a shot at it. They call me a believer. You know what I mean? He said, we've already confirmed with the governor of the state because we thought there was a mistake. He said, your parole papers are up there on my desk and you're going home Monday morning. Monday morning. And he said, I'm going to come and personally escort you out of here. So on Monday morning, I went up there. They gave me a suit that didn't fit, a shirt that was too big, and a pair of shoes like brogans, like you plow a mule in. And I did get a $10 check. And they would have given me a bus ticket home if I didn't have my folks coming to get me, but they were coming to get me. And they was there to be there designated a certain time. So I went up there and he dressed me out. He said, come on. So he started walking me out to the on the sidewalk to the gate. Remember that gate I talked to? When I was walking to that gate, I said, hear me, O ye gate. I said, I commanded you to open back yonder in May. And in the name of Jesus, open. Captain Crumpton said, what'd you say? He said, what? Yeah, you crazy. You crazy. So he signaled a guard in the tower. You know, he was figuring he had to turn the key too so you could overpower him, take the key and go out. It took two locks to open it. He said, you just get out of here. And I could see my mom and him standing out there. So I went out, had to go into this little room there, and they had all these papers telling me what I had to do, who I had to report, a parole officer I had to report and see to, see within 24 hours. And then after they'd processed all that, I guess it took about 30 minutes. And my mama could only come to a certain point, and they had a line there on the concrete. And she was standing there with her hands ringing like good worried mamas can do. She was not She was concerned that I still wouldn't get out. You know? And so when they hit the buzzer on the door where I could open it, I opened it and she couldn't move. But as soon as I got to that line, she jumped up. She's a short thing, you know, and threw both arms around my neck saying, my baby, I know I look like a gorilla, but I was still mama's baby. I can tell you something about that. My baby. And then that was during the days of what they call I call it mascary. I think y'all called it mascara, but they got it now. They painted on it, won't come off till Jesus comes. You know, I don't know. But back then, if you put that stuff on and you started crying, it run everywhere. I mean, so her face was distorted and all that. Y'all, any ladies remember that kind? They used to have that kind. Which you put it on and it didn't stick and stay. If you got it wet, if you started crying, it would just run down your face. And so I was hugging her, tell her I loved her, you know. I told you, Mama, I was getting out. Then finally I got her quiet, her feet's dangling, I'm holding her, you know. And I got her set down. And I'm closing with her last words that day, that morning. She looked up at me, my good Pentecostal mama that loved me all my life, but really didn't believe the Bible like I did. And I'm not knocking my mama. She said these words. She said, honey, the Bible is true, isn't it? I said, yes, Mama. I said, the Bible is true. Amen. And it'll work for you. Yes. Now, if I had not done what the Lord told me to do, then I would have never, I believe, walked out those prison gates because that letter was already established and settled, backed up by the governor of the state of Alabama. What do you want to see changed in your life? And I'll tell you this, if you're struggling with praying and reading the Bible, I want you to do something for me. I want you to start saying by faith. I have a desire to study, read and study God's word and spend time in prayer. Just start saying it. And I'll guarantee you, it will create that desire in you. I have a desire to study and read God's word, and I have a desire to pray in the name of Jesus. Yes. Stand to your feet. What we're going to do is just end with a confession. Is that all right? Yes. Is that all right, Pastor Tim? Let's make a faith confession. Let's close your eyes and let your heart agree with it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe your word. Your word says I can have what I say. So from this day forward, I'm making a declaration that I am walking in success and prosperity in every area of my life. I am healed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm mentally stable with long, healthy, successful, prosperous, spirit-led, anointed life. Will you satisfy me and show me my salvation? I declare it to be so, and I know that your word promises it to be so, and I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. So let's praise him for it. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God is good. God is good. Thank God that he's good. So I believe that you're going to confess God's word and get back on path. You may be seated. I'm turning to Pastor Tim.
Praise the Lord. Well, the word says that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. You know, I think it's, you know, interesting to note, you know, when hearing Reverend Greer's testimony and, you know, him being led to start speaking, you know, to that gate and start confessing his release, you know, all those years back. And, you know, even when all the natural circumstances look like it wasn't happening and things weren't changing, and then that day came, you know, would you say this? Would you say that Reverend Greer's destiny was changed, you know, by that faith, walking out of that gate? Was his life changed forever as a result? Think about his wife, Miss Patty Greer. Was her destiny changed that day? How about his son, Randall Jr.? Was his destiny changed that day? Now think about this. How many lives, how many souls, how many people has Reverend Greer preached to over the years? You know, I mean, from church meetings like this all over the place and back in the day when preaching for Brother Hagin and all those meetings, how many lives have been touched and influenced through that act of faith? How many of you in here have been changed, helped, and blessed because he walked out of that gate? Folks, let's just ask ourselves this question. You know, how many lives are waiting for you to walk out of your gate? How many lives will be touched? How many souls will be touched when they see somebody gain victory in this life? Amen. You know, the Lord, and if you're part of the Jamestown and the Erie Church, of course, I preached a message just a couple weeks ago, and it's just right along the same line, but the Lord said to me, faith is not for coping. Faith is for conquering. Faith is for not for coping. So many times we find ourselves, you know, wondering where our answers are at. Folks, our answers are right with us, right here, right now, in the words we say. Amen. Were you helped and blessed this week? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, it changes our lives to be in services like this. It's not just what we have been taught, though what we've been taught is gold, right? But it's also what has been caught by being in services like this. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to get ready to receive tonight's offering for Randall Greer Ministries. If you are making out checks, we are going to just make them out to Family Church, and then we're going to be a blessing to Reverend Greer here tonight after all the meetings are done. Praise God. You know, this is something that, you know, he hasn't shared, and I don't think he would mind me sharing this, but, you know, I just think it's a good thing for us to know that, you know, what it takes for these men and women of God to be here with us. You know, they travel and they go through all this stuff. You know, Reverend Greer, he was driving up from Oklahoma. He had a pit stop over there in Ohio and driving a nice newer a truck on the way up here, and the thing conked out on him. And the truck, and we won't tell you what brand of truck that it was. Praise the Lord, because we're going to hold on to our pride about our Ford trucks. Praise the Lord. You know, but there was just a mishap, and the truck broke down, and he didn't make a fuss of it, and all this stuff, and you know, I just found out, you know, when he got here that had happened, and he had to leave the truck there and get it looked at by a service department, and go find a rental car, you know, to finish, you know, and sometimes these things in life, you know, happen, right? And the reason why I just bring that up, I'm not trying to, you know, drum you up for a special offering here. But I'm just, you know, here to tell you, these men and women of God, they make great sacrifices to do whatever it takes to be here. And folks, Pastor Edwin and Pastor Angela, the Lord sent them here to help you and me. Reverend Randy Greer is here to help you and me. And now, let's make sure that they know that we're here to help them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be big givers. You know, it's a tradition in the family churches that the last offering of the week, we call it the double up offering. That just means we make sure to see these folks, you know, leave when we show our generosity. We make sure we put our best, save our best for last. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to give here tonight? We have offering envelopes there for you. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. Lord, how do we thank you enough for all that we've received here this week? Father, our lives are changed. Father, we thank you so much for what we've learned. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the gifts that have been in operation amongst us. Father, we believe what you said through your man here tonight. We believe the Holy Ghost when he said that that you are poor, you have poured out your spirit, and it is upon us even right now. Lord, you said in your word that you would pour your spirit out unto us and you would make known to us your words. Father God, we thank you that the move of the Holy Ghost, yes, it's in church, yes, it's for the gathered people of God, but it's for us at home as well. As we meditate in your word and you reveal your word to us. And now, Father God, we have an opportunity to be honorable. We have an opportunity to sow. We have an opportunity to show our generosity. And Father, we just say every need of Randall Greer Ministries, it is overwhelmingly and abundantly met. Father, we say that Reverend Greer just goes out. He performs all the will of God for his life. Father, we also thank you for Pastor Edwin and Pastor Angela Anderson. Father, we just say every need of their ministry is met. Father, they are abundantly supplied. Father, they continue to be a blessing to your people and to draw people to you. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Hey, don't forget, if you have little ones over in our children's ministries or the nursery, please, upon dismissal, head right on over there. You know, let those workers over there know how much you appreciate them. You know, and again, we just are so grateful for all the ministry of helps, all the people, you know, all the volunteers that it takes to put on meetings like this. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just give God the glory and we'll be dismissed. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Father, we are so grateful. We are humbled to receive. Now, everybody, just go ahead and say this with me. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.